I am Skydell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, as more countries are joining global accords to take government action to prevent climate change and global warming, we are seeing massive heat waves and farmers protesting all over the world. What does the global community think about climate change and the policies being implemented to counteract global warming? Is it even real? Or is this all being inflated to start a government buyback of farmland? Let's get started. By the year 2050, the world population is expected to grow to almost 10 billion residents. That's almost 3.4 billion more mouths to feed, causing between 59 to 98% more of a global demand for food. Now, with this on the horizon, you would think those who produce our food would be given the same place in society as celebrities are. Or, at the very least, their jobs would be made as easy as possible. To provide the proper nutrition needed, agricultures around the world will have to increase their yield and step up production. However, those who make their living off of the land are now seeing restrictions by their governments, all under the umbrella of climate change. Now, advocates for these rules say higher temperatures, drought, extreme weather, sea level rising, increased level of carbon dioxide are a result of man-made climate change, and ultimately jeopardize the quality of the food produced. Therefore, these restrictions being put in place by various governments are to the benefit of future crops. However, many farmers don't agree. One of those farmers joins us now, Jeroen van Manen of the Dutch Dairy Farmers Association. Jeroen, thank you for joining us. I have to ask, do you feel present-day agriculture policy is being based on quality scientific data and research, or more being influenced by a political agenda?
Yes, definitely. I would say it's the last thing. You know, it's more based on some wishful thinking than it's based on just facts.
So I have to ask, what is a bigger threat to our food supply, climate change or government policies?
Yes, it's definitely government things, you know, and not only in Holland, but you see it all over, you know. And it's only with food supplies, it's also energy, you know, energy crisis, Ukraine crisis, there's crisis all over the place. And there's an old saying in Holland, never bite in the hand who feeds you. And that's actually what they are doing. So someone has to pay the bill. And I think, you know, Holland is quite a big producer of food. We are quite a big exporter of food also. Dutch citizens probably are not the first ones to see what's happening, but there's a lot of people all over the globe who are depending on food which is produced in other places. A lot more people will starve from hunger, that's for sure. And the critical people are warning for that for ages already, but nobody seems to listen. So, well, you should ask the question, is there some sort of line who wants to starve a lot of people? I don't know. It's actually ridiculous. And I think it's a shame. You know, as a farmer, that's your whole life producing food. You know, because of the 2% which are farmers and which are food producers, the other 89%, 98% of the citizens can do the job which they want to do or which they need to do. And actually get rid of farmers, you know, you create a big problem for the other 98% of the people.
Now, there at home, I have to ask, how is the fight going in the Netherlands? And what is it going to take for you to succeed and return to some sort of autonomy to the farmers of your nation?
Well, actually, the fight, that's also a question. How long is the fight still going? You know, these last protests are still are going for 2.5 years already. They started the 1st of October 2019. But when you look before that, you know, actually the whole nitrogen stuff, where what the problem should be, that's already going around for 30 years already, you know, in 1990 and the years past. We had a problem with the acid rain, and now we are talking about the ammonia and other sorts of nitrogen on nature problems. Well, what the bigger picture is, and I think that's not only in Holland, but it's probably all around the world, there's some sort of thinking that we have to save the planet or we have to save the environment against the people. And actually, you know, nobody can be against it, but what it's turning out right now is, there's a few people telling all the other people what to do or what to restrict or what to leave. And it's ridiculous, you know, when you have to save the planet, you don't start killing farmers, you know, or killing. Probably we can be some part of the issue or a part of the cause of the problem, but for sure we are always a part of the solution. So when there's problems with the environment or with emissions or whatever, farmers can be the solution, and they're not the problem. So and the only thing what will happen is get rid of farmers. You know, you get rid of production value and. Some sort of production needs to be moved far away on other places of the globe, which is where the food is produced on a lot lower standards than we do right here.
You know, farmers in the Netherlands are not harvesting all of their crops because honestly, they can't afford the cost of electricity to either grow or even store their vegetables in their harvest. This will have an effect on all areas of agriculture and food production. You know, it almost seems like the people pushing these policies almost want there to be a worse food shortage. Yet there's a food shortage either occurring or on the horizon in most areas of the world. Does this even make sense to you?
That's a difficult question. I can only agree with everything you say. I think it's coming back on the first question we've asked. Is it? By coincidence, this is all happening, or is it on purpose? Well, the one who knows it should say it. I don't know. You can only see it, and it's not only in Holland, and it's not only in nitrogen, it's not only because of Russia, and it's not only because of energy, but there's a lot of things coming together, and every part of the every piece of the puzzle is making the prices bigger. You know, it's prices of energy go up, prices of gas go up. Production of fertilizer is going down. Well, one thing is for sure, you know, we are able to feed the world because of fertilizer. And that doesn't say fertilizer is good all over the place, but we raised the production by a great amount in the past. So, well, when there's not enough fertilizer for the next, that will be probably for the next season. And all of the season now is almost gone for this year. That will make the end of the story even worse, you know, that the crop for next year will be way less than it would be this year. So normal citizens should I don't know what they should, but for sure they have to look in the future how they will fill their plates.
Do you think this is a bellwether fight for the rest of the world? I mean, the Netherlands is one of the top food exporters. And few people know this because it is a relatively small country. If the farmers in the Netherlands lose, do you think other nations even stand a chance?
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. I think, you know, what I've seen for years already is certain lines or certain policies all over the planet. You know, in past, environmental rules in Holland would always be higher than for the rest of the world. And that was some sort of common sense, you know. We were a very intensive country, and there's a lot of people living here, so that there would be more rules on environmental issues. That people thought it was normal, and in the past already farmers have been immigrated to America or Canada or whatever for just farming and don't have problems with the environment or climate. But what you see right now is a global thing, you know. You in America have the same, it's probably is called different, but it's the same line, like I said before. It's the thinking we need to protect the climate or the earth against the people. And I don't know, it's actually ridiculous, because what you see in the bigger picture, you know, the big pollution, it's going on, you know, big industries or the ships or whatever. That's still going on, and you know, I don't know. In Holland, you just can say they need the land, they want the land, they want a place to build houses on, and they want to get rid of the farmers. That's one thing for sure.
You know, something that I've just been shaking my head about, Jeroen, is, you know, this narrative that is being posed all by the opposition is that you and your fellow farmers are polluting the environment. You know, I have to ask on a personal level, how do farmers feel when they are told they are anti-climate change and anti-environment when you actually make your living off of the land?
I feel everything, you know, when you ask the question, I just get chicken skin. It makes me feel sad and makes me feel very angry. And it's ridiculous too, you know, what you mentioned, we are living in the nature, and actually it's agricultural land, but it's still nature, biological processes. And when we are polluting the environment, we are polluting our future, you know. It's the same as throwing poison in your water well. It will kill yourself, so you will never do it. And yes, in the past we did practices we know now could we could do better. So we're doing them better right now. You know, we're using a lot less fertilizer. We're using a lot less chemicals to protect the crops. Standards are going up for hundreds of years, I would say. So when people are blaming agriculture for producing food or the way we are do it, it's just ridiculous, you know. They're blaming us for putting food on their plates. So it's, and that's actually what's happened all over the planet, I would say, in the last decades. The distance between people and nature is getting bigger and bigger, and it's some sort of, I think, political ideal to get that bigger, you know, to cut people away from their roots. You know, we are all cut down from our religion. The churches are empty, but it sometimes looks like we got a new church, and it's called the climate church. You know, it's wishful thinking. We have to protect the earth against the people. Well, what will be the end of the story? We have to kill a few thousand or a few billion people to protect the earth? I don't know, but then I would say nature survives us all, you know, and sometimes when there's a balance which is not going good, nature also retakes itself or restores, is restoring the balance, or I don't know. But it's ridiculous, and it gives every farmer a very bad and very angry and very sad feeling that people are blaming the farmers. It's biting the hand who feeds you.
So let's talk about if these policies that the government's proposing are actually implemented. What does this mean for your specific farm?
I don't know for sure yet, because there's been some maps from the government where Holland is divided in different regions, and then a few regions need to cut down their nitrogen emission by 12%, other regions by 46%, then there's regions for 75 and 95%. In the same time, all the innovations on emissions for nitrogen are not juridical tested or legally. So on it's about the same as a catalyzer on a car, you know. It's also reducing your emission, but you should see it like this: the catalyzer is working, but it's not legally attested. So when you're coming for court, the judge will say this system is not allowed, you can't use it. So when you have to cut down your emissions by 10% or 40% or 90%, the only way to do it is to cut down your herd by the same percentage. And 12% on this region so far, well, probably it could be possible. But, you know, when you milk 100 cows and when you have to sell 12 cows, that's 12% of your net income. And the margins on farming are this low on this moment, that 12% less could be enough to get out of business. I don't know. You know, I will try it to the last day, but someday when you can't pay your bills, then the bank or your creditors are coming and they want their money.
Thank you, Jeroen, for joining us today, and we wish you the best in your fight.
Thanks very much.
Now, after the break, we have heard the perspective from a farmer being affected by government regulations. Now, we will talk with a lead environmental scientist and why he feels like these regulations are needed to preserve our food supply in the future.
Kiss me, little baby, tell me that you love me too, Mama Linda Lou. Hey. It is a fact that the Minsk process has failed. And I can't make any judgment about who has been responsible for the failure of the Minsk process. But if the Minsk process and its subsequent implementation was successful, then we would probably not be in a position like that. But once that the Minsk process has failed, and once that it has been perceived as a kind of a threat perception by the Russian side, then probably we should try to find a remedy to revisit and to rehabilitate the Minsk process. The solution should not be a kind of a military solution. We need dialogue.
So what we've got to do is identify the threats that we have.
It's crazy.
Confrontation, let it be an arms race.
Who is on offense? Very dramatic development.
I personally am going to resist.
I don't see how that strategy will be successful.
Very critical time.
Time to sit down and talk.
Welcome back. I've given you a perspective from the agriculture community regarding how government regulations are affecting them. Now, let's take a look at this from the scientific perspective. Wim van der Putten is the head of the Department of Terrestrial Ecology at the Netherlands Institute of Ecology and joins us now. Thanks for joining us. You know, Wim, you are an established and respected scientist, so I want to look at this from a scientific standpoint. Can the scientific community in regards to agriculture actually do anything to combat or counter the changes going on within the climate?
Within the climate, so yes. I think that within the climate, you mean the temperature changes and so on. There
yes.
We can do a lot. So a lot of the climate is controlled by soil. So we do a lot of work on soil and soil health. And by storing more carbon in soil, you can help mitigating climate change. And also it helps adapting to climate change, because if you store carbon in soils, the soils will become more capable of collecting water and keeping water. And this is something which is really important under climate change.
Is the impact agriculture is having on the climate change new to the scientific community? Or have we known for a while and just ignored?
Yeah, this is known for decades, in fact. But recently, since especially after the Paris meeting in 2015, when it was really becoming evident that the climate is changing faster than we expected, we tried to come up with all possibilities to combat climate change. And so one of them is to store more carbon in soil. And actually, then you have a knife which cuts from both sides, because you reduce the CO2 level in the atmosphere, which is one of the causes of climate change, a major cause of climate change, in fact. And you also make the soils more fertile, more self-sustaining.
I want to look at the future. And will not harvesting the crops this year, as many farmers are saying they cannot do to high electricity prices and these regulations, will that have an effect on future crops and harvest?
Well, we have a saying in Dutch, the soup is not eaten as hot as it is served. So the farmers will harvest the crops, else they will lose a lot of money. But if the crops would remain on the land, then those crops would end up in the soil as carbon. So for the soil, it is good. The only thing is what you will get is that you will get diseases which develop on these crops, and that may affect the crops next year. But no doubt the farmers will harvest the crops. Actually, they are harvesting the crops right now.
Now, are you seeing these same problems in other countries? And are scientists sharing their research across borders?
Yes, there's a lively interaction among researchers. And actually, so in the farmers' community here, there were still doubts being expressed about the correctness of the scientific conclusions. But actually, all scientists agree, maybe except a very, very small minority of people who just simply don't want to listen to the or look to the facts. But actually, the scientists agree, it's really evident what is taking place. And we know that in industrialized countries or in industrialized areas, for example, Northwestern Europe, but also parts of Italy, but also parts in Asia, and for example, in the Midwest in the United States, those are parts where agriculture is carried out in a really high intensive way. And we see that this high intensity agriculture is just polluting the environment by releasing all these nutrients into the environment. And the evidence is just really very solid.
So I wonder, what do you actually tell the farmers who say these new policies being put in place are going to make them have to close their farm? We have a global food shortage. Isn't this the time for farmers to maximize production rather than close shop?
Yes, well, the first thing is the question is if the farms need to be closed. They need to produce in a different way. If you see how much the farms have grown, so in one generation, they have grown almost tenfold. So if they would grow back and if they would produce food of more value, then with less production, they would just earn the same income. That is one thing. The other thing is we have an increasing amount of people on Earth, but a lot of land, most of our best land is just used for producing feed for cows and for pigs and for chicken. So if as a society we decide that we change our food intake, and that doesn't mean that we all have to become vegetarians, but if we just eat a little bit less meat, then we can just save the planet by just making space for producing food for enough people. The third thing is, a lot of the food that we produce is being wasted. About 30 to 40% of all the food that is produced is being wasted. So if we reduce food waste, then we can just easily feed the world.
Now, the climate has changed all since the beginning of time. So how have civilizations in the past been able to adapt their food supply versus today?
Well, the two things. One is about climate change in general. The climate has never changed as fast as it is changing now. So if you see, for example, the last half of the previous century, we had one dry year. Now, this century, we had already four or five exceptionally dry years. So the climate is really changing very fast. If you see the glaciers melting, if you see the ice on the poles melting, these things are going so fast that the living world cannot adapt to these changes. And then going back to the past, so there have been a lot of populations, like for example, the Mayas, and they went extinct. And food shortage was a major factor in driving the extinctions of these old populations. And the food crisis there was also due to drought. So those were natural droughts. But also you cannot exclude that the droughts were caused by misuse of the land.
Now, some of the policies which are hurting modern day farmers involve limiting nitrogen emissions from agriculture products. But isn't nitrogen essential to plant growth?
Yes, nitrogen is essential to plant growth. But it's just like with us humans, if you eat enough, that's good for your health. But if you eat too much, then you get fluffy and you can't move anymore, you become ill. And the same is happening with plants. So if plants get enough nitrogen, they grow well, they are strong, they produce food for us. But if we put too much nitrogen on these plants, then they grow fluffy, they collapse, and they become diseased. And moreover, another problem with nitrogen is that there are different forms of nitrogen. So when nitrogen goes into the air as ammonia and then ends up in nature reserves, then it starts polluting the nature reserves. And these nature reserves don't like nitrogen at all. That is going at the expense of plant diversity and other diversity, like of insects and birds.
Thank you, Wim, for sharing your research with us.
No, thanks.
1974, U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said, "Who controls the food supply controls the people." Sadly, this was a suggestion of using the control of food as a weapon. Now, whether this was to induce population reduction or to punish those who did not go alongside an agreed-upon agenda, we can only speculate. But what we do know is countries around the world are either dealing with or facing famine in the near future. Now, throughout history, those in power never saw the lack of food as a problem until their own table was found bare. Marie Antoinette famously said during the French Revolution, "Let them eat cake," when her own subjects could not find bread. Now, this callous remark caused the queen to become such a hated symbol of how out of touch the powerful were, she eventually lost her head several years later. Now, today's powerful have wised up and not so brazen in their words. They sugarcoat their intentions, thinking it will make it easier for society to swallow. Climate change is an issue which should be addressed, and care for our planet is a responsibility we all have. However, pardon me if I have serious doubts about the honest intentions of those who are actually crafting policies which put the hardworking farmers in jeopardy, all in the name of climate change, especially when they're crafting these policies at summits being held in five-star resorts, which they flew to in their CO2-emitting private jet. This has been your 360 view of the issue. I'm Sky Nell Hughes. Thank you for watching.